Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls. Paul Hellyer with us. His latest work is called The Money Mafia. I'll ask him a little bit about some of his work in the field of ufology, and then we'll go to your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Paul Hellyer with us. Paul, how did you get involved in the interest of UFOs? How did that all start for you?
Well, it really started because there was a young man from Ottawa who started sending me in material. And I told him I didn't have time to read it, but he said, it's okay, just put it on the shelf for a rainy day. And he sent me a book called The Day After Roswell by Philip Corso.
Uh-huh, and Bill Burns, yeah.
And I didn't have time to read it, but a couple of years later I did. And when I read it, I became very concerned because I knew that there were issues that were not in the public domain that should be in the public domain. And I wanted to know, I thought the American people should know what the United States Air Force was doing, whether they're going to do something that started the Galactic War, and where they were getting all the money to finance the things that they were doing. And so I decided to go public after I had confirmed with a former United States Air Force military person who was knowledgeable that the stories in the book were basically true. And so I just felt, you know, this I have a responsibility here because I believe, I know that UFOs are real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's time after 60 some odd years that they of military and the governments of the major powers start telling the truth about something. The United States military hasn't told the truth about anything of significance, really, since July the 4th, 1947. And how can you operate a what one might have called a democracy with a whole the major part of the country not telling the truth? And the situation still applies. We were talking about chemtrails. They're not telling the truth as to why they're there. They're kidding us. We'd like to know the lies they had to tell to persuade friendly countries to go along with them. And maybe we're going to have an amnesty, which has been suggested before, from the National Security Act, so that honest members of the government, both civil and military, can express their concerns freely, and so the people will have the opportunity to know more of the facts and to be able to make up their own minds whether they're being duped or whether, in fact, there is some element of truth in what is said to be going on, which sometimes doesn't seem to be credible.
I've always said, Paul, I don't think governments will come forward and disclose. I don't think it's going to ever happen that way. It's going to have
people. I agree with you simply because, and this happened when in Washington 2013 when we had a group there discussing with the six former Congress people, there was just no comprehension as to what was going on. The people who had been in Congress for years didn't know that they had voted money for back engineering space vehicles. They didn't know the extent to which money was being diverted from other things and all of the lies that were being told by the means that they got the money there to cover up the paper trail, to cover up the fact that things were being done that were being held from the public. So, this is an issue, a big issue. It was, it still is, and the people don't have a chance if they don't have greater access to the truth. And seek the truth and it will set you free is a biblical...
but true.
But trying to get your hands on it is very, very difficult.
Yeah, it's a good point. Let's take some calls here for you, Paul. Paul's website, by the way, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It's Paul Hellyer, H-E-L-L-Y-E-R, web.com. We'll go to Sherry in Phoenix, Arizona to get started. Hi, Sherry. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Hope you are, too.
Oh, I'm doing great. Oh, gosh, another great year. You guys just get better every year.
Thank you,
Tommy. Anyway, I wanted to ask, and hi, Mr. Hellyer.
Thank
you for what you're doing. Golly gee. I am very aware, and I think a lot of people are wide awake to what you're talking about, you know, with the money mafia going on. But, I mean, how do we, if they have such a lockdown and a control over us and everything, I mean, how do we really affect change? And do you think Donald Trump is... could help in that area, or do you think he might be part of the controlled?
I think I'm going to have to take the Fifth Amendment on the...
yeah, I understand.
on that one, something has got to be done, and in my book, and it's very relevant right at the moment, I'm going to do a cross-country tour in our country in September and October to try and to educate people as to what money is and where it comes from,
mm-hmm.
and why governments have to start creating money to dilute the huge debt that has been run up worldwide. We have more debt in the world than we've ever had before, and that is for the very simple reason that at the moment the money mafia have 100% control of putting money into circulation. But all the money they put into circulation is put in as debt, and it has to be repaid, both the principal and interest. But nobody creates any money with which to pay either the principal or the interest. So what do you have to do? Very simple. Borrow more in order to pay
the interest
on the debt and keep going deeper and deeper into debt.
They never get out of the hole, Paul.
Well, they can't, the way the system is mathematically, the way the system is set up. And so the only hope for the world and the monetary area is a massive infusion of government-created debt-free money. Now, that is possible because we had a system like that in Canada from 1939 to 1974. And during that time, our Bank of Canada, which we own 100%, which unfortunately you don't have in the States, but... it's possible still. Our Bank of Canada created all of the money that the government really needed to meet its deficit every year and to finance the infrastructure of the country. We built something that was called the Dew Line. Most of the listeners wouldn't know what that was, but it was a distant early warning line that the United States asked us to build around the northern part of Canada, so that we would have notice if Russian airplanes started flying down across our borders on the North American continent. And it was very expensive, and we built our half of the St. Lawrence Seaway. We built Trans-Canada Highway, and we built new airport facilities and all these things. And we didn't go into any significant debt because the Bank of Canada was providing us with near zero cost money all that period. So we wound up 1974 with virtually no debt. And then they changed the system. And that's when our Bank of Canada unilaterally adopted some rules set by the money mafia in Zurich, Switzerland, the Bank for International Settlements, which is one of the most interesting organizations there is, and one of the least known, and that's one of the many things you'll learn from the Money Mafia, my latest book, that will interest you at least, because they, in a way, sort of control the world. But we took over their rules, and one of them was to stop creating money for government, low-cost money for government. And so instead of winding up the next 45 years with no significant debt, we have a very significant debt, and we have paid in those intervening years, $1.1 trillion in interest that we didn't need to pay. And this is just because the system has been rigged against everybody by this very small group that controls the Bank of International Settlements.
And what's so amazing, Paul, is they make money and they don't even have it.
Well, of course, that's the way the system
What a
works.
Great scheme.
A very great scheme, and that's what I meant by buying assets for 5 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
They can make a loan of $5 million. They, at least they have capital of $5 million. They can create bank loans, bank deposits of $100 million.
Yeah, way beyond that. Making money off of nothing.
Yeah, and what the way I...
Smoke and mirrors.
The 5% is the blood, sweat, and tears money. That's all they put in. But then what they want back from the people they lend it to, and they don't have money to lend. It's credit. It is just a computer entry. That's all it is.
Yep.
And the money they want back is blood, sweat, and tears money for the whole 100% plus interest. So it is so stacked against the people of the world that it's no wonder that, as Warren Buffett said in the war between the rich and the poor, that the rich are winning, because they set the rules and they, you know, just make sure that the normal, ordinary people don't have a chance. So we have to change that. One of the features of my book is to try and get Canada to take the lead, because we've done it before, and our legal setup, our legal framework is one that we could put it into effect, and then maybe it could be an example for the world. I call it the Canadian precedent. And any Canadians listening tonight, I hope you will write the Prime Minister in Ottawa, K1A086, I think it is, and say that you want him to revert to the system that we had before 1974, and that he has a proposal before him which would provide Canada with all of the money it needs to start funding things properly, whether it's education or the arts or the armed forces or healthcare or First Nations needs. All of these things could be properly funded, and we could reduce that leverage of the private banking system over a period of 7 years from 20 to 1 to 2 to 1, which it was when the Bank of England was first chartered a little over 300 years ago, and which is tolerable, in my opinion. But it is a redistribution of power between the cabal and the banking cartel and the ordinary people of the world. And that's what we have to have, so that governments will have the money to pay their... So the pensions for their and expenses for their veterans, and look after their First Nations people, which we haven't. We're guilty. We are just awful what we have done to our people. And the new Prime Minister has established hope that some of this injustice is going to be righted, that we're going to do something that is decent for change and follow a different path. But that takes money, and they haven't got the money. And I'm afraid that their expectations are going to be too high one more time simply because the cash isn't there. But it could be if governments use their power. It's the people that own the right to create money, not the banks. And we should exercise that power. And remember that banks are only licensees. They only have such authority as is given to them by Congresses or parliaments. And here you have in the States a system where your banks do terrible things, and first your politicians wind up saying they're too big to fail, and then they say they're too big to jail.
That's true. Let's take Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
George, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And Mr. Hellyer, your work is fantastic, and I want to compliment you on that. My question is on the money mafia, the cabal, and they have to be aware, there has to be some sort of discussion in the financial boardrooms on the extraterrestrial presence. The premise of The Day After Roswell by Philip Corso was that the American military back-engineered crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. What I want to ask you is it possible that the cabal, the money mafia as you speak of it, is it possible that they are in back channel secret communication with various factions of the extraterrestrial, perhaps secret agreements, perhaps secret trade agreements with the extraterrestrials, perhaps even secret terraforming agreements such as chemtrails? Do you think that, over the last 60, 70 years that the cabal has established lines of communication with various factions of extraterrestrials?
I think indeed there have been agreements. I think that there's been close cooperation between the United States government and several species of extraterrestrials. Certainly, there was cooperation in back engineering the original scout vehicles, and Ben Rich, the former head of the Lockheed Skunk Works, where these things were worked on, told his classmates before he died that we now have the technology to take ET home. Well, I believe that to be true. And the amount of money it's cost is just so astronomical, and if even a fraction of it had been spent to build a better, fairer, more just world, we would have had it. But this was siphoned off because some people in the military wanted to have control and wanted to be in the big league and get involved maybe beyond the borders of Earth and start playing with people who were able to travel from one planet to another, one star system to another. So yes, there has indeed been interaction there. I presume that it continues. And I think that this is just one area of operation where we should be entitled to more information. By far, we've been given nothing virtually, and not only given nothing, but billions of dollars have been spent for disinformation and misinformation. And imagine your tax dollars being spent to lie to you deliberately. I mean, not just accidentally, but deliberately created, crafted misinformations. And that's been going on, and it's still going on because NASA every once in a while puts out something that they're hoping to find a few suggestions that there might be life on Mars.
Well, they keep us just excited enough, Paul, don't they?
Yeah. They're misinforming the people because what they're saying is we don't know. Maybe there is, when they do know and have known for years.
Well, that's a good point. Paul, stay with us. We're going to take this break and come back with final phone calls with you as we talk with Paul Hellyer. Then the next hour, open lines start here on Coast to Coast AM as well. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We will take your tweets and texts during open lines as well. Next hour, open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, though, final calls with Paul Hellyer as we talk about his latest work, The Money Mafia, and some UFO issues as well. And welcome back, Paul Hellyer with us, The Money Mafia. We'll go right to your calls as they continue to line up. We'll go to your neck of the woods, Paul, out in Toronto, Canada. Susan's with us on the international line. Hi, Susan.
Hi, I'm so glad you took my call.
Sure thing.
I know of people that come to your meetings. Are you still having them in Toronto?
We haven't had any recently, but we may have one in November at the end of my cross-country tour. I haven't quite decided yet whether we'll do that or not.
Okay, now my question. What are your views on climate change, and have you seen Cowspiracy or read the book Meatonomics? I'm not sure if you're aware, the meat and dairy industry are by far the most destructive industries.
Yes.
91% of rainforest is killed off by them.
But I think that the biggest thing on climate change, and it is the number one problem facing the world, is that we have to use the technology that is available, and very quickly, if we want to have any hope of salvaging the planet. And the problem is that the cabal and the U.S. military has the technology. It's called zero-point energy. And the technology exists for a very fast changeover from fossil fuels to clean energy. And it would do several things. It would arrest the trend towards a hopeless situation and give us some hope of salvaging much of the planet before it's too late. It would provide millions and millions of jobs, and it could be done. In my book, I said it should be done in 7 years, and I know it could be. I know that politicians laugh because they're talking about 30 years reducing emissions and 20 years and 40 years and 50 years and all this sort of thing. But the technology exists to do it in 7 years, and it would be just to use what we learned in World War II when we converted every automobile plant and refrigerator plant and washing machine plant into armaments to help win the war, to say our planet is going up in flames, and if we are serious about it at all, which so far we have not been, then we have to convert the armaments plants into zero-point energy machines and replace the power source and every car, truck, boat, tractor, airplane, and home in 7 years around the world, and make the technology free in such a way that it isn't prohibitive in cost, and make it the war to salvage our planet. And this is the war that we should be pursuing. And it would be great if one of the candidates for office would say, well, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to reduce military expenditures 10% a year, straight line from now, and so they're 50% 5 years from now, which is more than enough, far more than enough. And we're going to get at it, and we're going to do it right away. And you say, where are we going to get the money? Well, then I've explained that in the book and talked about it a bit. Governments are going to have to start creating gobs of debt-free money to put into the system, as part of the system, so that governments create, and I have suggested in my book, once the new system is put into effect, 34% of the money every year, and the banking system only 66%, instead of present ratio of where governments create 0 to 3%, and the private banks 97% have in effect a total monopoly. So there are these things that we have to do, and if we got at them right away, then there would be some hope. Now, sure, there are lots of other things we can do. In my book, I have a whole list of things that we have to do to survival, and planting millions and millions of trees is one of them. And this is not a new idea, but this is something practical that can be done. But I would urge people to take a look at that. And one of the things that I recommend is that American leaders, both military and civil, have to take a new oath in addition to the one they take. And that would be one that would say that they would deny themselves any affiliation with the New World Order and a dictatorial government. And they should do that and let them go in peace if they... if they're not willing to do that with a golden handshake, but find out who is really working for the United States of America and its people, and who is really working for an insidious group who wants to have a world government of, by, and for themselves. And this is a monumental thing, of course, probably won't happen, But if you want ideas, if you want the kinds of things that should be done, why, that is something that should be done. Of course, it would be nice if one of the presidential candidates would say, yes, we're going to nationalize the Fed. Should have done it 103 years ago. We owned the right to create our own money then. But we were taken in. The Congress was asleep just before Christmas, and they let the richest, most powerful bankers in the world take over the United States' responsibility for creating money. And in the last few years, when things have been tough, they have created trillions of dollars, paper, when I say not paper money, but virtual money, for the use of the banks and the corporations that are affiliated with the cabal. And none of that has got to the people. There's something very wrong. So we have to, if you really want to get at the root causes, you have to do as we have done in Canada, is own your central bank and then use it for the benefit of the people and not just for a very privileged handful of people who are buying up the world's assets at a rate that's absolutely and totally alarming.
Charles in Arkansas, east of the Rockies. Charles, you're on with Paul Hellyer. Go ahead.
Hello, Paul.
Hi.
I'm just a kind of a off-the-wall question, but do you still have authority in Canada at all?
Do I have authority?
In Canada.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I have authority more or less equal to my wife and our household.
Okay.
But, beyond that, and I have a lot of people in Canada who believe in the things that I'm saying and believe that the problem is one of too much II and wee, and not enough of being concerned about our fellow human beings.
Well, maybe you could help me with what I have to say. George has been aware of this at one time. I have a location in Nova Scotia with a large amount of gold in it. I'm afraid of removing it because I don't really know where it'll end up. I don't personally need it. It belonged to the Templars, and I don't know if they have a right to it. I don't want it to go in a museum.
Right.
Do you have any suggestions?
Not really, but I'm one of my first speeches will be in Halifax in September, so maybe you could drop around and we could have a private word about it.
How much gold do you think you have there, Charles?
It's been doused at about 4.5 tons.
Wow.
And religious artifacts.
You've got the Templar treasure.
Well, it's the lost treasure because
King Solomon's
went
treasure.
Down on the way back, and Scotland doesn't know where it is.
And you've got it well hidden?
It's in the ground.
It's down there, huh?
Just my neighbor and me know about it.
All right, don't tell too many people because they'll come and get it from you, that's for sure. Linda in Bloomington, Illinois. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thanks.
Sure.
Show. I couldn't go to bed without it.
Well, perfect.
I got three things. Two, you can chew this over if you want to another time, but I'm under the impression, and I don't know if I heard on the radio or on TV, but the VA spent $20 million for paintings for their offices.
Yep. I had that story a couple days ago. Unbelievable.
That's sickening.
While some of the veterans died waiting to see doctors and get in.
Sickening. Okay, and then the second thing was our governor here in Illinois is extremely rich. Illinois has went without a budget for over a year now. We are deep in debt, and many, many valuable offices have had to shut their doors or cut back to 1 or 2 days a week because of it. Now, the important thing that I want to bring up is, by the way, that governor has 7 homes in different places of the world. But anyhow, this is what I heard, and the FBI had a man that had been with them for 20 years. And during this time, he was a spy. And he had all this classified top secret information, and he's been giving it to China. And they finally caught up with him, some FBI we have, but they finally caught up with him as he was on his way to China to give him more information. Now, I don't know how true that is, but that's what I heard, either radio or TV. So what takes the FBI 20 years to catch up with a spy? I mean, he had clearances to everything you could think of up there in Washington, and they never caught him.
Hmm.
You know, what are they doing up there, sleeping?
Probably. Probably.
Did you hear that story, George?
Yeah, I did. I did.
I'd say it correctly, you know, what I heard.
Well, you're pretty close. Absolutely. It's Paul, it's exactly what you've been saying. It's out of control.
A lot of things are. We're being spied on all the time. The National Security Agency is, it doesn't matter what you say or where you go, they have a record of it. And freedom, as we have known in the past, is becoming just something for the history books.
We go to Dinah in Riverside, California now. Hello, Dinah. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. And it's Dina, by the way.
Okay.
So that's okay. In my point of view, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has everything in control. Jesus, through the scripture that says, believe in Jesus and you will escape the wrath to come. I see this this conglomeration of things in this control as possibly the tribulation is upon us. And there's a group of rabbis that study the Bible codes that claim that in the codes it says this year and the Messiah is coming. And it shows it, you know, they're not taking this off the top of their heads. It shows it in the Bible codes, and that could possibly be the rapture. So I would say there's a spiritual world going on. The people that look to things of God, and Jesus said, we will do greater things than he did. So there's a spiritual world out there, and also this worldly underworld. And also regarding the election, you know, people have been putting down Hillary and all people know is the bad things about her. They never say anything good about her, if you think about it. And Trump has backers like David Duke. Now, if people want to be responsible for bringing in that lot in the government, I think they're going to be contributing to this force, you know. And so I would really think about that and look at some of the good things Hillary's done and some of the bad things Trump's done that they never talked about, since you know who controls the media.
Well, you know, like I said, let's extend the election for 6 more months and start all over. Paul, what do you think? Primaries, brand new candidates, everything.
It's wonderful to dream.
Yeah, it sure is. A couple more calls. We're out of time. Jim in Desert Hot Springs, California, first-time caller. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, wonderful. What a golden night you have tonight.
Oh, my God.
Nori.
Thank you.
I just have a small piece of the jigsaw puzzle of everything that we're talking about here regarding extraterrestrials. I was a hangar brat. I'm 71 years old, and when they would roll out a plane, I would be at the hangar to watch it come out because my dad was part of security. And this was in Department 52. Department 52 has to be in charge of Area 51. You can consult some of your numerologists to be sure, but you'll need full cooperation from Department 52. They all have to realize that keeping secrets makes a wave in the psychometrics in the energy of the universe and tells a falsehood, and we need to get the truth out fully so that we can live properly. And I'll let you kick that around.
All right. We shall kick that around. Too many secrets out there, Paul Hellyer. Too many.
Far, far too many. And most of them are secrets that affect people negatively. And this is really, I guess, the thesis that I'm pushing, that we have to get the truth out. It's very difficult because I have hear Daniel Estulin's latest book. He was the one who wrote the true story of the Bilderbergers.
That's right.
And his latest book is called Transevolution. And in it, he chapter and verse of the total control of the English-speaking major media all over the world. And getting the truth out is very difficult under that circumstance. And so consequently, we just have to use the social media as best we can and word of mouth and do a lot of praying. But I think the point has been raised, and I'm not one who is going to go to a hill and wait for the end of the world. It may come someday, but it may come on some day or year or decade other than people think. And in the meantime, we've got real problems to solve for real people and a real necessity of trying to save one of the most beautiful planets in the whole universe, so I'm told. And as I travel around it, I get that impression. But we are wrecking it. Such things as fracking, for example. This is just total desecration. And if we had any sort of decent government whatsoever, it would just say, no, you can't tear up what God has made and which may affect the drinking water of thousands of people in the years to come. We don't know what it will do, and we're not going to let you wreck the planet in the process of finding out. And certainly creating a situation which, after it has been done, is too late to rectify.
It's all about money, Paul. Thanks for being on the program. Paul Hellyer, of course, the book, The Money Mafia.